Hello and welcome to the Enjoy Church podcast. Thank you so much for tuning in. We hope this message empowers, equips, and helps you become everything God has called you to be. Enjoy the message.
Well, I want you to, if you've got your Bibles with you, if you don't, it'll be on the screens. Why don't you turn with me to Titus chapter 2, verses 3-5. It says these words. It says, similarly, teach the older women to live in a way that honors God. They must not slander others or be heavy drinkers. Instead, they should teach others what is good. These older women must train the younger women to love their husbands and their children, to live wisely and to be pure, to work in their homes and to do good and to be submissive to their husbands. Then they will not bring shame on the word of God. Now, you might look at that and listen to that and go, that's a little bit of an odd verse to pull out after you've just been going, women are incredible and we should love and honor them and acknowledge them. And then we get this passage that talks about training women into the ways of God, training them to be submissive. You know, it'd be easy to think it was an outdated verse. You know, submit to your husband. How often do you hear those words? How often do you hear that? These days, it's always about woman, I am woman, hear me roar, you know. And we absolutely champion women. But what I believe that this passage is saying is so much more than just talking about training in behaviors or training in hearts. I actually think it's talking about a legacy. It's actually talking about leaving a rich deposit in the lives of others and understanding that there are eternal principles that need to be passed on from one generation to another. For just as Ecclesiastes says in Ecclesiastes 3:11, God has planted eternity in every human heart, we need to understand that we are eternal beings. And that we have to live, therefore, with eternity in mind. You know, this passage is actually talking about honoring and understanding that those who have gone before may have learned a thing or two. Any of our older mums say amen to that? Yes. Any of our older women in general, like say, we've learned a thing or two, and therefore maybe we should lean in and listen to them. You know, especially when you think that their legacy has deposited something into our lives. If you've received anything from another woman that's gone before you in some way, then you will understand the importance of leaning in. And one of the reasons it's so important to lean in is because even as you have received, guess what? God wants you to give out. God sees you as a vessel of blessing for others. You know, many of you would know, and you've already heard about it, I am a soon-to-be grandmother. I am so excited. I know. It's like 8 weeks, maybe six. Who knows if they come early. Oh, that would be pretty cool. But I'm like, I'm excited because it's a new season that God is ushering into my life. It's a new season. I may not be going through the pain and the labor. Hallelujah. I don't need to do that. It's a wonderful thing. Already gone through that season. But you know what? I may not be doing that, but it is still a change of season that will change my world forever. Absolutely. And much, it's kind of like this season of the world that we're in right now. You know, whether you've gone through pain through this recent season with the pandemic and all the impacts and the effects that it's had, whether you've gone through pain and hardship in the midst of that or not, the reality is it has come upon us like the birthing pangs of a mother giving birth, and it is giving birth to a new season, and it has changed our world forever. It's opened the door to something permanent happening in our world. But one thing I've noticed is becoming in this, as I'm about to step into becoming a grandmother, some would say I am already. Like, you know, Emily showed me this picture. There's a picture of her baby is at like 32 weeks, obviously. So therefore, she showed me a picture that was of a baby that was born at 32 weeks. Oh my goodness, they are alive and kicking. So I just go, okay. So maybe I already am a grandmother if you want to look at it that way. But one thing I'm really aware of is, I have no idea how to grandparent. I've never done this before. I've never been a grandmother before, nor have I even had many grandparents in my own world. Now, you may not know this, but I didn't grow up with a lot of extended family around me. In fact, I didn't grow up with any extended family around me. All I had was mum, dad, my sister, and myself. That was it. No other family. There was some family that was overseas that we didn't really obviously get to see. Back in those days, there was no FaceTime or Zoom calls or any of those things. There wasn't even a mobile phone, let alone a home computer. And it was like, so you're just like, I had none of it before. So I have had no grandparents in my immediate world. And if you've known me in recent times, you've probably heard me say, I just hope I'm going to be a good grandmother. You know, because you're just like, I've never done this before. I'm hoping that I'll know what I need to do. And everyone's like, oh, you'll be fine. It's wonderful. But I got to tell you, I'm leaning into all the grandparents that are around me. I'm like listening. Like, what are they doing? What are they saying? How they, oh, they're saying their grandkids, how they do that. I'm listening to everybody's stories. I'm getting as much information as I can because, you know, I didn't have anything. I didn't have grandparents above me. I didn't have uncles and aunties and cousins and nieces and nephews. I didn't know anything about anything. And I'm so grateful for the church. Genesis 28 verse 17 is so true. I know it's a verse that we see here often in this place. But what an awesome place this is. It is none other than the house of God, the very gateway of heaven. You know, the church certainly is the gateway to heaven. It's the gateway to the life of so much more. The abundant life that Christ offers us is found right here in this place as we live and move and have and do life with one another. You know, I got saved at the age of 20. I'm so grateful. I got saved at the age of 20. And over the years, as I've lived in this church, I've realized that some of the things that I grew up thinking were normal and average and okay and acceptable, even though some of the things may have been that, they weren't best. They were okay, but they weren't best. So for instance, I got to really encounter what real family was like when I came into the life of the church. And that's no dissing my family. You know, I was in a happy home. I'm grateful. I grew up in a happy home. My parents stayed together. Our life was very, very good. But I've got to say that I didn't understand the fullness of what family could be until I came into the house of God. You know, God, there are many things in our world that can be okay and be acceptable, but God wants you to have the best. He really does. And there's gold in the lives of others that God places around about you, that you need to be your best. You know, God doesn't just want the best for you. He wants the best out of you. He wants you to come into the place where you actually are the best that you can be. See, it's wonderful to see best. It's wonderful to receive best. What really speaks loud to the world is when we become our best. And I think, you know, there's gold in the lives of others and there's gold in your life that others need to bring out the best in them. And so I look at this as a part that all of us have to play. And I'm so grateful that even when I had my first little girl, when I had Emily, oh my goodness, like seriously, I knew nothing. Like none of my friends were married. Nobody I knew had kids. Like I was so ignorant. We lived in Albury and I didn't have my mum around about me because I grew up in the eastern suburbs, like 4 hours away. My mum wasn't around me. But I'm so grateful that there were older women in the life of the church that were brave enough and caring enough to step in and help me when I was in that place. You know, I remember one time being invited across to someone's house for dinner. Emily was maybe a month or so old. She was only little. And this was one of the older couples. It was actually our pastors at the time, Pastor John and Marlene Simpson. And we were over there having dinner and the baby starts crying. Of course, always at dinner time, your baby starts crying. It's like they've got their food clock is set to yours. So the moment you sit down to start eating, so does your baby. And so Emily started crying. And generally speaking, I mean, I've got to say, I really did have it pretty easy first time around. She was a very placid baby, but this night, she was just not happy. And I'm looking at her with a logical brain, okay? I'm looking at her with a logical brain. You have been fed. You have been changed. You're not old enough to need anything else. Why are you crying? And I actually sat her on my lap in their lounge room and under my breath said exactly that to her. What are you doing? As if it was going to make any difference. But I'm there and I'm like, so I'm sitting there and I'm speaking. I'm kind of embarrassed at this point about the fact that I could not get my little girl to settle, but I had no idea. To put it all a little into context, when my sister had her first baby, this is how ignorant we were, okay? So just show a little grace. She actually thought that you put your baby to bed at about 6 o'clock and you woke them up in the morning. So this is the world that we came from, kind of a bit of a bubble. But anyway, so I'm sitting here and I'm looking at Emily and I'm bewildered and I'm a little embarrassed when Marlene comes across. And she comes across with a big smile on her face. She doesn't look at me like, what is your child doing? You know how you imagine everybody's looking at you? Everyone's thinking that you're the most terrible mother in the world. And she just comes across with a big smile on her face and she says, can I have a little cuddle? And she picks her up and she just begins to slowly pace up and down, singing and talking just over my little girl. And needless to say, it wasn't very long before that little possum was sound asleep. You know, see, what Marlene had, what I didn't have at that point, was she had perspective. She had a perspective, the advantage that that brought to her. And as she stepped into my world and just did something as simple as that, she deposited into my life two things. One, a practical skill. See, I wasn't used to that. Emily, up until then, had always been feed, change, put her to bed. She'd just close the door, she'd go to sleep. I didn't know how to settle. This was like a new thing. Like, what is going on? You actually want to be awake? Like, what is going on? And then she was crying and I'm like so messed up. And then Marlene comes in and she is so at peace. She comes in and she's just coming in with that long-term perspective that she understands. And she gave me the practical keys of being able to put my baby to sleep and also showed me the power of what I'm calling the G perspective. G perspective. It can be one of two things, whichever you want to be. It can be the grandma perspective or the God perspective. Now, I'm not suggesting that they're necessarily the same thing, but often they overlap. And so she came in and she brought this to me. And I love that. I love the fact that she did that, but just as simply as coming in to help me. You know, I love the fact that God knows the end from the beginning. And one thing I've become aware of is sometimes grandparents do too. Sometimes they also know the end from the beginning. They have the eternal view on things. You see, she wasn't my mother and she wasn't grandmother to Emily. But she stepped in like a mother and brought a grandmother's long-term perspective into my world. She brought it in. That's what age and time and experience can do. It can bring wisdom and faith and trust and peace. It brings that G perspective of eternity. You know, the reality was in that moment, Marlene could have, but she didn't. She didn't come in and go, oh, we need to pray for your child. She didn't lay hands on her and suddenly start praying this mighty prayer. She was a woman of prayer, I know that. But she didn't do that at that time. What she did was she just simply lived in the eternal perspective. She simply lived in that place of the G perspective, and I'm so grateful that she did. You know, it's a life blessing that each and every one of us can pass on to somebody else. It's a lasting influence that we can actually bring to others. No matter where you are on the journey, you know, we were getting everyone to stand up, all the girls to stand up. And I know that that sometimes when you're first time here, people don't understand. We're actually honouring all women. We're actually honouring all girls because we understand that no matter where you are in the journey, you have the opportunity to be able to do this for anybody. Because is anybody older than somebody else? Oh, nobody? Anyone older than somebody else? Yeah. You're all older than somebody else. You all have an experience that someone else hasn't gone through, but maybe they're going through it. Maybe right now you've got something in your life that actually can be a blessing to them, can help bring in that G perspective. And I love that thought because God wants each and every one of us to understand that we have a part to play in His plans. Now, I know we would all have stories and people in our lives and all the things that we've learned from them, but I just wanted to grab a few what I call G perspectives from the thing that I've learned from women in the Bible. So my first G perspective for you here is loyalty is gold. Loyalty is gold. Who here knows the story of Ruth and Naomi? Okay, so a lot of you would. For those of you who don't, it's found in the Old Testament in the book of Ruth, of course, Ruth and Naomi. It's found in there, and it's really the story of Naomi. She travels with her husband to a foreign land. They're with their sons. They go there. Long story short, tragedy hits. Her husband dies, and then 10 years later, her sons die. But in the meantime, they have married two local girls. And even though we aren't told all the details of what happened and how they passed away and what happened, we see that Naomi is left destitute, she's left hopeless, and she's actually left embittered in her heart. And so she decides that she's going to move back to her homeland. One of her daughters, she gives them the option. She says, I'm going back home to my native land now. You're still young. You can still start your own family again. You can remarry. Why don't you stay with your family and find somebody here? One of the daughters, Orpah, she decides to take that option and she heads off. She loves her mother-in-law, but she decides she's going to stay. But then there's Ruth. And Ruth decides that she is determined that she's going to stay with Naomi, this woman, this older woman. She's going to stay with her and go with her wherever she goes. You know, some would say that it wasn't a smart move. Because she's going to go to a foreign land where she doesn't know the language and she doesn't know the people and she doesn't know the customs, and whereas she could go home right now and be in her father's household and her father would help find another husband for her. But instead, here she is and she's still young enough to start again. So why would she tie herself to this older widow woman who can't have even another son to provide a husband for her? But it says that she chooses to remain steadfastly loyal to Naomi. And the two women, which is interesting, two women widowed in a culture where if you don't have a man to protect you, you're pretty much bereft of any help and any financial support and everything. So it was brave what she did. As we read this account, if you read it, it's only four chapters long. But if you read it, it was actually the combination of Ruth's loyalty and kindness, because that breathed new hope and life into Naomi, added to Naomi's wisdom of years and understanding of life, that actually finally brought her out. The dream and the promise fulfilled, and their lives ended up being incredible. In fact, Ruth ended up becoming knit into the lineage of Christ through the man Boaz that she marries. You know, the reality is loyalty is gold. Loyalty is gold. Ecclesiastes 4 verse 9 to 12 says, two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, one will lift up his companion, but woe to him who is alone when he falls, for he has no one to help him up. Again, if two lie down together, they will keep warm, but how can one be warm alone? Though one may be overpowered by another, two can withstand him, and a threefold cord is not quickly broken. You know, so often in this world, we are encouraged just to look after ourselves, even sometimes in the church. It's my needs and my life and my ministry and my promotion and my happiness and self-care. But the G perspective recognizes that we are sojourners. It recognizes that bought by the blood of Christ, we are traveling together, and loyalty is gold. Loyalty is gold. The second thing I see from women in the Bible is that you're never too young or inexperienced to be used. Although there are so many examples of this, what's the obvious one? It's Mary, the mother of Jesus. Tell me, if I was to say to you, I have a really important job. It's a really, really important job. Something like kind of like the mother of the Savior of the world, okay? I have a really important job. Who would you choose to do it? Who would you choose to step into that? Especially if the fate of the entire world rested upon her shoulders. Hey, would you get someone who's young and inexperienced, possibly hormonal, who's never been in that role before, a teenager? No need for teenage parents to raise your hands. Probably not. It's not really what you'd normally choose. Even the world and even the church will often tell you, find someone with experience. If you've got a weighty, important job, find someone who knows what they're doing. But notice God's choice. An unmarried, teenage, virgin girl. So, as I said, you could read that young, totally inexperienced and possibly hormonal, possibly not feeling her best, not yet too sure of her identity, up and down, emotional as can be. You know, because the truth was, the culture of the day and history tells us that she was probably about 14 to 16 years old. Girls married at the ages of 14, 15, 16. Basically, as soon as puberty hit and they were able to produce children, from that point, they were marriageable. So here she is, not your prime candidate. But I believe that Pastor Jake said something on Creative Night this week, which I really liked. He said, the only thing that qualifies you for opportunity is obedience. The only thing that qualifies you for opportunity is obedience. And that's exactly what we find in this young girl, Mary, faithful obedience. You know, as the Archangel Gabriel came to her to tell her the impossible plan that God had for her life. Anyone think it an impossible plan? Hello, you are young, you are not married, you've never laid with a man, but you're going to become pregnant because the Holy Spirit's going to overshadow you. What does that even mean? Like, is a big shadow going to come over me? And that, what's going to happen in the midst of that? Here she is, she's in this place, and he's telling her, I am absolutely sure, unless she is the only person in the human race that doesn't think this way, I am sure that all the hardship, all the shame that would come to her and those that she loved, being unmarried, pregnant, teenage girl, claiming immaculate conception. I didn't do it. Honestly, I didn't. Yeah, right. Yeah, right. I reckon all of that came screaming to the forefront of her brain with every other excuse off the back of it. And yet she decided to say yes. She chooses yes. Luke 1 verse 38 says, Mary responded, I am the Lord's servant. May everything you have said about me come true. And then the angel left her. He didn't even stay with her. He didn't even go, that's awesome. Now let's talk about, nut out a few of the details. I just want to make you feel comfortable. Do you want a coffee? Let's work this through. No, he just literally drops a bomb, drops a mic and leaves. So she was young, yes. She was inexperienced, yes. But she wasn't living in that space. She was living with G perspective. She understood that her youthfulness and her inexperience were no surprise to God, nor were they any barrier to his plans and his purposes. In fact, God's word praises young Mary and exhorts us. In Luke 1:45 says, you are blessed because you believe that the Lord would do what he said. What things has God said to you that you're looking at and thinking that's almost impossible to do? That is impossible to do? I don't know if I'm going to be able to cope with that. I don't know if I'm going to be able to handle that. What has God said to you? I want to tell you, you're never too young or inexperienced to be used by God. The third thing here is you are never too old or past it for the new. In a season like right now where everything seems to be new, this is a good one. You know, if you look at Mary's elderly cousin, Elizabeth, you find her in Luke chapter 1. Historians believe that she was at least 60 years old. She was married but barren and way past having children. She'd never had them and she was way past it now. In the day, they believed that women, if they were married and didn't have children, that they'd been cursed by God. And Elizabeth was married for many, many, many years and had no children. You know, it would have been so easy for her to think that God had turned away from her. It would be so easy for her to think, there is no chance for anything new. Surely I'm past it. Surely God will use all the young ones. It's all the hopes in the young ones. I want to tell you, there is hope in the young ones. But that just as you were young once, the hope didn't leave you. It hasn't left you now. The hope is still in your heart. If Jesus is still in your heart, there's still hope for you. And everything that God, every purpose and promise that God has spoken over you, blessed are you who believe it, that God will do what he said for you. You know, she's there. She's thinking, I'm old. I'm especially too old to carry a baby. Lord, don't you know my womb is done. It's not able to carry a child. And yet we see God's response, what God did in Luke 1:25. This is how God sees the age as a barrier. "How kind the Lord is," she exclaimed. "He has taken away my disgrace of having no children." You know, it says that in Psalm 139, verse 16, "You saw me before I was born. Every day of my life was recorded in your book. Every moment was laid out before a single day had passed." I want to speak that over you and remind you. Every day has been, it's already been written down. God has plans and purposes and good works and miracles and promises to be fulfilled still to come in your world, no matter what your age. No matter what your age. See, that was God's plan all along. How crazy is that? Here's Elizabeth thinking, it's over, no chance. And God goes, "No, you don't understand. I have a plan, and this is my plan, that you would actually reach that point because I have a plan." He chose to reveal his glory in Elizabeth's life in this way at this time. It wasn't too late. She wasn't too old. She was just right. She was just right. Because I got to tell you, despite what appeared to be a dream long gone, she was still faithful. She was still faithful. She and her husband were still living and serving God. You know, her husband was a high priest in the temple. They were still faithful people. She was living in the G perspective. You're getting old is a mindset. I've just got to... Anyone heard of it? There's an actor, an American actor, an old comedian. He was George Burns. Any of the older people, you possibly would know, heard of George Burns. But I love what he says here. He says, "You can't help getting older, but you don't have to get old. You can't help getting older, but you don't have to get old. All you have to do to be a part of the new that God is doing today is be willing and able. Because if you are willing, God is able." I've seen young people who are way old, and I've seen old people who are still so fresh and zealous and young, and it's incredible. And I want to encourage you. I want to encourage you, don't get old in your thinking, whatever age you are. Whether you're the oldest person in the room or the youngest person in the room, don't get old in your thinking. Don't take yourself out of the race. Be willing to move and allow God to change and allow Him to do a new thing around you. Allow Him to do a new thing in you and through you and just see what He does. So what have we got so far? We've got loyalty as gold. You're never too young or inexperienced to be used by God. You're never too old or past it for God to do something new. And finally, my final thought is your beginning doesn't define your end. Your beginning does not define your end. In the New Testament, Anna the prophetess, you may not have heard of her, but we find her in the book of Luke in chapter 2, verse 36. And if you don't know her, it's just a little passage where it talks about, just a couple of verses, where she's there, she's at the temple, and she encounters Mary and Joseph, and they've got Jesus with them. In those days, with the Jewish law required that a woman go to the temple a month after she's had a baby, if it's a baby boy, 2 months if it's a girl, but she had to be there and going through this purification ritual. And there they are. There's Mary, Joseph, and Jesus, and they're there because Mary's got to do this purification ritual, and Anna, the prophetess, is there. And she sees him for the first time. She sees Jesus, just as Simeon is prophesying over him that he's going to be the savior of the world. And verse 36, it says, "Anna, a prophet, was also there in the temple. She was the daughter of Phanuel from the tribe of Asher, and she was very old. Her husband died when she had been married only 7 years. Then she lived as a widow to the age of 84. She never left the temple but stayed there day and night, worshipping God with fasting and prayer. She came along just as Simeon was talking with Mary and Joseph, and she began praising God. She talked about the child to everyone who had been waiting expectantly for God to rescue Jerusalem." You know, according to this scripture, she was 84 years old. She was almost as old as our beautiful older mothers in the house. She was at that age. Here she was. And she saw the promise that she was waiting for. She saw it. She saw the Messiah. Married at about 14, 16, something like that. Widowed after only 7 years, which would have made her like 21, 22. No children that are mentioned. As far as we know, she's not married again. You know what? That's not what she dreamt of. That wasn't the place that she thought her life was going to go to. She could have easily, at that point, gone, what hope is there for me? If this is my youth, if this is my strongest time, what hope is there for me? But she didn't look just at her current circumstances. She looked at God. You know, we don't know the details of her life, but she gets to see the Savior before most people even knew he existed. She is listed as one of only 7 female prophets in the whole Bible. She became probably one of the first evangelists for Jesus as she went about telling people who were waiting for salvation that Jesus was the Christ and that he'd come. What do you think sustained her through the hardships? What do you think sustained her through the trials, through the loneliness, through the things, the many, many years? How was she able to remain free from bitterness and disappointment? How her life had turned out? How was she able to stay in this place of faith? I believe she chose to live in that G perspective, in the God perspective, in the eternal perspective. She lived in that place, not just once, not just for a moment, but probably over many, many, many moments and seasons and intersections and places in her journey. She held on to the eternity that God had placed in her heart. She held on to it. And when things got tough, when they got confusing, when they seemed to be going the wrong way, she leant into God and reminded herself, God is in control. God's word never fails. God has a plan for my life. God loves me and has a place prepared for me. And I believe if she's anything like the rest of us, you know what? The Word of God and the Spirit of God is what gives us life. But my goodness, isn't it given weight when it comes in the form of another person? And I believe that she leant into others that were around about her, leant into the experience and the wisdom and the peace-filled faith of those that had journeyed before her, both in the flesh, in her immediate world, and in the Word of God. And by so doing, she linked arms with the saints who had gone before and those who are yet to come. She stood and lived in the G perspective. So I want to encourage you today to stay loyal to one another, to remember you are never too young or inexperienced to take your place in God's plans and purposes. You're never too old for the new. And finally, your current situation or your past does not define your future. God has plans. He has purpose for you that's going to bear fruit. It's going to bear seeds in the lives of others. Because there is gold in what you share, what you receive and what you give. I want to encourage you to reap it from those who have gone before and sow it into the lives of those that are coming after. Because God has planted eternity in your heart because he has an incredible eternity for you beginning right here, right now. Can I pray for you? Father, I thank you for these incredible men and women, young and old and everything in between. Lord, I thank you, Father, that your hand does not only lift go on them when they get old enough and comes off them when they get too old. But Lord, I thank you that you are the God who sees us from before we were knit together in our mother's womb. Lord, and you have plans and purposes, and they are for our blessing, Lord. They are for our good and not for evil, Lord God. They are good things. But Lord, I pray right now, Lord, that even as you have planted eternity in our hearts, Lord, that we would make sure that we continue to bring it to the forefront of our minds and our thinking, Lord God. That in our lives we would live with the G perspective, the God perspective, Father, the eternal perspective, that we would grab a hold of it, Lord God, and allow it to lead our life, Lord, that from beginning to end our days would give glory to you and they would be a blessing to those that are around us, those that went before us, and those that follow after us. Lord, we thank you so much for your goodness. Bless your people, I pray, Lord God, and may this word find its home in our hearts, Lord God, and ever stay there to remind us to walk with you. in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Bless you, church.